Amen. You can have a seat. It's great to be with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. This is going to be our last week in Colossians. We'll start Ecclesiastes next week. I'm really excited about that book. I think that there's a lot that we can learn from King Solomon that's very applicable to today and the culture that we live in. So I think God's going to use that book in a very powerful way. So make sure that you're here next week to catch that. We're going to start off in Colossians 4, verse 2. It says this: continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So as I read this verse, there was some very particular things that I felt like Paul was trying to communicate, specifically in this season of my life to me. And I feel like a lot of this will translate to you potentially as well. What I think Paul's trying to get at is this dependency on the Lord, that we would continue in prayer steadfastly and that we would be watchful in it, which we'll dive into what that means, with thanksgiving. And the reason why I feel like he's driving towards something, specifically a dependency on God, is because what he's getting ready to say. So before I jump in to what the next verses say, the way this verse hit me was asking myself, am I doing that? So am I, Caleb, being dependent on the Lord? Am I continuing in prayer? Am I being watchful in prayer? And there were some things that began to be revealed about my heart and about basically where I've been over the last month and a half. As I began to evaluate where I've been and kind of where I've been at, I began to realize that I've been doing a lot of things on my own power. I don't know if you've ever found yourself there, but especially in church, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing as a pastor to try to do things on your own power. And as I began to think through what that looks like, there's a lot of things that I do. So I'm a son of God, first and foremost. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I am a business owner. I am a friend. I am a hunter. I like to work out. So these are things that I do, right? These are things that I have to exude energy towards. The list could go on longer, and I'm sure all of you, I know all of you have a list, right? Some of you are spouses. Some of you are employees. Some of you own businesses. Some of you are retired. Some of you have grandkids. There's all of these titles that we could put over ourselves that we live in and we give energy towards. And when we do them on our own, what can happen is we can begin to burn out. And this was a couple of weeks ago. It was a Tuesday night. I was going to bed. There was a lot of different things happening all at once. And this new role that I'm getting to work in here at Cottonwood has taught me a lot of things. And it's also been, in some instances, more difficult maybe than I anticipated. And then I also have a lot going on just in my life personally with running a business and then just having a son and all of these things, right? And I need God to be present in my life. And I went to bed, and I'm thinking about all of this stuff that's happening, all of these things that I have to get done within the next few days. And I fall asleep thinking about those things. And at about 3 in the morning, I wake up, and out of my sleep, I wake up and I sit up, and I am essentially having a full-blown panic attack. I've never had that happen to me before. I've literally never experienced anything like that. And as I sit up, I can feel almost like a tightness in my chest. And the only thing I know to do is to begin to pray and to begin to give those things over to the Lord. And I started to realize, especially in that moment, I am trying to do this life in my own power, in my own strength, on my own. And that is not good. And I began to think, how can we look at this in a tangible way tonight? So I got a little Nerf dart, and this is me, right? Okay, this is us. I might hit one of you. I won't, not intentional, but I don't know what's going to happen here. So this is us living life on our own. So I'm going to throw this pretty hard, and let's see what happens. So that was pretty pathetic. We made it, you know, 3 rows back, and I threw it, right? I gave it a good throw. So it kind of started off fast, started spinning out of control, and then puttered out quickly. That's what I felt like, right? Started out fast, Wednesday nights are going, loving it. Things are going well, doing all of this other stuff, trying to make everything happen, trying to get everything done. And then I start spinning and putter out. I don't know if you've ever been there. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. But there's a way to avoid this happening in our lives. There's a way to avoid waking up at 3 in the morning in a panic attack. There's a way to avoid that feeling like everything is out of control. And Paul is giving us some insight to this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Let's read it again. Continue. So there's an assumption here that this is already happening. We can't miss that. He's assuming that we are already praying. So continue steadfastly in prayer. So I looked up this word steadfastly, and I'm going to butcher this, but it's proskarteo in the Greek. And what it means is to continue doing something with intense effort, with the possible implications of difficulty, to devote oneself to keep on, to persist in. So there is this very, very focused driving towards that we should have in prayer, that we should continue steadfastly in prayer, that even if it gets difficult, we continue in this practice. We continue to pursue the Lord regardless of circumstance, and we push forward steadfastly. Then he says, being watchful. So there's this, we're pressing forward, we're moving on regardless of what happens, knowing that difficulty will come. We press forward, but we are watchful in our prayers. So there's a direction that we should head with our prayers. This word watchful means gregorio, basically, gregorio. And it's a military term for literally meaning like be awake, be aware. If somebody back in the olden times was watching over, like the night watch, watching over the camp, they would do this. They would be watchful. They would look for the enemy. They would begin to look over the field into the darkness of the night, trying to see where the enemy was coming at them. And that's how we're supposed to be when it comes to our prayers. We're supposed to endure. We're supposed to be steadfast, and we're to be watchful. Well, what are we to be watchful of? Our lives. And how are we to be watchful over our lives? Well, we have to know the scriptures. And we need to pray towards being in a place in our lives where we're not doing it on our own, where we are trusting in God in all of the things that he's called us to be. Because we wear this almost as a banner, especially in the Metroplex. Like, I'm busy, right? I've got all this stuff. I got to take my kids here, my grandkids here. I got to do this thing. We're busy. We're constantly going. We're constantly everywhere. And we try to do these things on our own. So what does it look like for you to be watchful as a son or daughter of Christ? What does it look like for you to be watchful in your prayers as a spouse, in your prayers for your children, in your prayers towards your job, in your prayers towards even the things that you do that you enjoy that are fun? How are you praying, and are you praying? If you're not, then you're trying to do this thing on your own. You're trying to do this thing in your own power, and you're going to look like that little Nerf dart. You're going to start off good, you're going to start off fast, you're going to spin out of control, and you're going to just drop. But if we will do these things, if we'll continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, we'll be able to move into the next thing, and I believe we'll become a lot more effective. It says this, at the same time, verse 3, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mysteries of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So there's a specific target in mind that Paul has, that God has for us, that if we will pray, if we will be steadfast in that, if we will tap into the resources that is God, the power of God, we can be used by him for the gospel to move forward, ultimately bringing glory to his name. And so if we will quit trying to do this thing on our own and we'll begin to depend on God, because that's, prayer is almost this confession of needing God. God knows what we need. He's sovereign. He knows how things are going to play out. Prayer is for us to admit to God that we need him, that we need him to help us. We need his power for the day-to-day things to sustain us, to use us so that we can know how to follow him, how we ought to speak is what Paul says. And so when we tap into that, we become much more effective. And so I have this little Nerf gun, right? This is a little Nerf gun. This is not big. This is not some huge, powerful thing. And so I got a little one because it made me think, like, my prayers, my faith is not very big. So I don't want some huge bazooka. But my prayer, even a little prayer, even a little faith, let's see how effective it becomes. I don't even know where that went. Somewhere over there. It's gone, right? That went much further than what I could do on my own. Right, exponentially further. When we tap into the resources of God, of the Holy Spirit, when we allow his word to be laid over our life, keeping watch with it, praying in the things that we have to be, thinking about others, making the gospel move forward in our lives and others. You know, a lot of what Paul has been focusing on in chapters 1 through now 4, there's been a lot of seeing, what do we treasure? What are we rooted in? What are our efforts going towards? What is our hearts really desiring? There's been a lot of introspection. Now Paul's shifting and saying we have to depend on God. We have to continue in this introspection, continue to be watchful over our lives in prayer, but it has to move forward. It doesn't, all of this is to move forward. So let's read again, verses 3, moving forward. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. So Paul's looking. He's looking to share Christ. Paul was impossible because even in what he's saying, they're looking to declare Christ. And then he says, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. There's just this impossibility with Paul. I try to put myself where he was, right? He's in prison. Prison guard comes up to him and he goes, hey, man, you know, there's this guy, Jesus, and he's awesome, right? He's impossible. He's in prison for sharing Christ, and then he wants to share Christ with the guards in prison. Nothing could stop him from doing this. There was this desire inside of Paul to share the gospel because he knew it, right? He believed it. He was rooted in it. He treasured it, and he wanted to be used by God. So that's why he was the way that he was. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Making the best use of time, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to speak to each person. This has to move through us. We have to be willing to share the gospel. We have to be willing to leverage all the things that we have, all the things that we are for the sake of the gospel moving forward, like Paul. Paul was willing to give up anything. Paul was willing to lay anything on the line. If he was in prison, if he was free. And this doesn't just stop with itself, right? We're not just working towards this end of people coming to Christ for no reason. There's a greater purpose at stake here, that being the glory of God. The glory of God is at stake here, and that's what we should be pursuing. And also, there's there's another tangible aspect to this of if we will be faithful to do this, if we will be faithful to take the gospel that's been given to us and share it with others, then Christ will return, and we get to get out of this broken world. That's something worth pursuing. That's something we should be willing to give our lives for, give our time for, leverage our jobs for, leverage our relationships for. Everything that you have, the gifts that you have, the job that you have, the house that you have, the money that you have was meant to move through you and to the gospel moving forward in your life so that God's name would be glorified. So then I started to ask myself, well, how much should we long for this to happen in our lives? How much should we want to see this happen? Well, Paul was in prison for it, right? We just saw that. And he was even willing to share Christ in prison, which is impossible to deal with for the guards. But Paul takes it a step further. In Romans 9, verses 1 through 3, he says this, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. Have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. So how desirous was Paul to see the gospel move forward? He was willing to give up his own salvation for it, if it was possible. That's what he said. He said he wishes that he could be cut off so that others would come to know Christ. This was super convicting for me because I'm very me-focused, very me-centered. You can see it in the way that the comforts that I want, the comforts that I have, the things that I do. Paul was so selfless in this that he was willing to give up what is the most valuable thing in this life for the sake of others. So how much should we long for others to come to Christ? As much as we can with everything that we are. However much it takes to actually motivate us to go and share the gospel with the person that sits in the cubicle next to us or in the office next to us or the neighbor across the street or the friend that you've known for years and years and years but you're unwilling to share because you're worried about what they may think of you. And I began to ask myself, well, how much did Christ desire for those to be in relationship with God? Well, that answer is easy, right? He gave his life for it. He valued that more than his own life. So we should be desirous and willing to walk in this thing that is gospel multiplication, that it would move through us and into others, and we should be willing to leverage everything we have to see it done. And then I had to ask myself, well, can I really shoot that far? Can I really be that effective and be that powerful in God? To answer that question, we got to go to James chapter 5. A lot of times I think when we think about sharing the gospel or we think about being used by God, we limit what God can do and will do, or he's going to use someone else. God is going to accomplish his will. But we will limit what God is going to do through us because we think that we are not, we think we're that arrow, right? We think we're that little dart that just peters out instead of thinking, no, we're the one that goes far. We got to get our focus off of ourselves. We got to start looking to God. So, James 5. We'll pick up in verse 13. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is working as it has great power. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I'm going to read that again. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So Elijah is like you and me. Elijah is no different than us, but let's see what Elijah did. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. So if Elijah is like me, then that means that I can pray to God. And if this prayer is within his will, he will stop rain, which I'm not going to do that, for over 3 years. Like that much power resides in me that I could stand with confidence before the Lord and ask for something like that. Because if Elijah is like me, well, has God changed? Has his power changed? Can he not do that? No, he can do that. He hasn't changed. My unbelief is the difference. My faith is the difference. God is the same. So if God is the same and Elijah is like me, then that means I can do anything that Elijah did or anybody did for that matter because God is the constant. His power is the constant. And this should give us hope in so many areas. And James kind of hits this. Are you in trouble? You should pray. Right? Whatever kind of trouble that is, financial, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your friends, maybe it's your work. If you're in trouble, you should pray. You should go to God and you should have a confidence. I'm not saying that you should go to God and ask him to make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. We go to God and we pray for things. We ask him to get us out of this trouble, meaning we ask him to give us more of himself. Because if we have more of him, our trouble will go away. Because the trouble is something that we can leverage to gain more of him. So if we believe like Elijah, then we can pray with the confidence that God will move in our lives, providing what we need, caring for us. And then he says, if you're sick, pray. Have the elders pray for you. Have them anoint you with oil. There is power in prayer, and we can depend on God for these things. Are you walking in sin? Confess and pray. The thing that I love about this verse, I didn't want us to move too quickly away from this, because it didn't say if you are in sin, run from God. Hide your face, you dirty, rotten sinner. That's not what it said. It said if you are in sin, confess to God. Confess to one another, pray for one another, and you will be healed. Like, this is amazing. I think too often we read verses like this and we don't consider the reality that there is a monstrous sovereign king of the universe who hates sin, who hates the thought of it, cannot look at it. In his presence, if sin is in his presence, it will be destroyed. That kind of God can look to us through Christ and say, if you are in sin, you can run to him and find healing. Like, that's amazing. It's amazing the power of prayer and the power of the gospel that we get to tap into, and we so often don't. We just sit in our sin, feeling bad for ourselves, rather than run to him, confess our sins, run to a brother or sister in Christ, confess to them and pray with them and plead with God for healing. He can provide it. He will provide it. He wouldn't tell us to do that if he wouldn't. But even that doesn't stop, right? That all of this healing doesn't just stop with itself. It's not just for you, right? James picks up in verse 19 and says this, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. All of this healing is not for you just to sit and feel good about yourself. All of this provision, God bringing you out of a place of trouble, bringing you into a place of health, can giving you freedom from your sin and healing you when you confess to him and ask and pray to him. This is not just for you to sit and be happy and feel good. It's so that you can go after the one that is wandering. It's so that you can go after the one that is lost. It's so that you can be used by God in all that he has given you to see the gospel move forward. So there's two things that I think we have to consider tonight. Where are you trying to live in your own power? What things are you doing on your own? Maybe it is work. Maybe you've just got that on lockdown. You don't need God to enter into that space. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's the way you're raising your children. What is it? What are you trying to do on your own that you don't want to let God into? Because it's your baby, it's your thing. What are you trying to do in your own power? Because I'm telling you, eventually you're going to be like that little Nerf dart and you're going to start spiraling and you're just going to drop off. You don't have the energy. You don't have the energy to sustain those things. Those things were meant for something much bigger than just your happiness. And God wants to use them. He'll let you fall flat on your face, so that he can engage you there. It's the loving thing that he does. He'll have you wake up at 3 a.m. in a panic attack and speak to you in that moment and say, stop. Stop trying to do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. And so let's deal with the Lord there. So where are you trying to run on your own power? Where are you trying to run on your own strength? And then don't let it stop there. If God's going to use his might and his power and his strength and his healing to heal you, then what is he calling you to? Who is he calling you to share the gospel with? Who is he, what is he asking you to leverage in your life for the sake of the gospel to move forward? Maybe it is your job. Maybe it is your money. Maybe it's your neighbor. You need to go share the gospel with them. God has given you this unbelievable gift. It's not just for you. It's for the gospel to move forward so that Christ can come and God can put his glory on display. And so you've got a little piece of paper that was on your chair and some pens. I'm going to pray for us in just a minute, and then I want to give you some time to really consider this. Write down, where are you operating in your own strength? Who are these people that you could be sharing the gospel with? I want to take it a step further. There's another space there. When are you going to share with them? When are you going to go talk to that neighbor? When are you going to talk to that friend? And this is, you don't have to do this, but this is what I would like for you to do. Zane and I have been trying to figure out how we can come alongside you in a better way and pray for you, know what's going on in your life so that we can talk with you about it, pray with you about it. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to fill out that paper, put your name on it, and I'm going to ask you to leave it. I want to know how I can be praying for you, the areas that you're trying to run on your own strength. I want to know who you want to share the gospel with, and I want to know when you're going to do it, because I want to pray for you when you're going to do it. So if you're going to do it next week, put next week. If you know what day you're going to do it on, put the day. If you're just going to try to do it within this next year, okay, that's something, so let's work towards that end. Take a picture of it with your phone if you want it for yourself. If you don't want to leave it, that's fine. That's fine. You can take it with you. But Zane and I and the rest of the staff that's here would just love to come alongside you, to pray with you about these things. And I believe that through the power of prayer, God's going to do some awesome things in and through you. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray to that end. You consider what God would have you do, and then we're going to praise God for what he has done. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for just the reality that we get to live in as believers. I can't do this thing, this life on my own. But I was never meant to do this on my own. And that's such a, it's such a soothing thing to the soul to know, God, that I'm going to be used by you, that your power is the thing that moves in and through me to see your will and your glory accomplished in this life. I can rest in that. And what an amazing thing that you use broken people like me to do your work. So I pray, God, that we would not try to do this thing on our own strength, that we wouldn't try to parent on our own strength, that we wouldn't try to go to work on our own strength, that we wouldn't try to manage our households on our own strength, that we wouldn't try to engage our neighbors on our own strength, but that we would pray steadfastly, keeping watch over our lives, that we would depend on you, putting our lives before you, trusting in you to lead and guide our lives and our conversations. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would move faithfully tonight in and through us. Speak to us about where we're trying to run on our own strength. Encourage us on and how we can walk in your strength and your power. And God, I pray you begin to lay on our hearts those who you're going to save. What an honor to be a part of that. What an honor to be used by you to see someone come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So put us with, we know you're going to save them. Let us be a part of it. I pray that we would be bold as you heal us, as you bring us out of trouble, as you bring us out of sickness, that we would be bold to walk in the things that you've called us to, and then God, that you would save. So Jesus, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the cross, making it possible for all of these things to happen. Pray all of these things in your name, Jesus, and for your glory.